While it is a difficult thing to do, the discipline of giving thanks in all circumstances yields great blessing in the lives of believers.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, folks, message today is one of those interactive messages that I'm going to give you an opportunity to preach back at me here a little bit through this sermon and then toward the end, so you'll get your opportunity then to hear your voice or make your voice heard in this. I want us to start off by thinking about some things that are easier said than done. You've all heard that expression before. Well, you know, that's a lot easier said than done. What are some of those things? And anybody have an idea? What is something that you think is a lot easier to say than to do? Anyone? What's easier said than done? Just about anything, right? So, yeah, right? Self-discipline, right? To discipline ourselves in certain things. It's like, you know, like, well, exercising more, losing weight, quit smoking, be on time. That one wasn't directed at you, Lynn, by the way. Lynn, I wasn't picking on Lynn on that one, by the way. I'm not even going to mention Lynn's name when I talk about that. So those things are easier said than done, right? But how about getting over a hurt? Maybe there was a hurt that you've experienced in your past and working through that. You say, well, we need to move on from that. Well, that's a lot easier said to move on than to actually do it, isn't it? How about this forgiving? Forgiving someone. We know we're supposed to do it. We know it's the right thing to do. We know it's a good thing for us to do that. But it's a lot easier to say than to do. Well, I want to focus our time here then today on something that is easier said than done, but it's important for us to understand why it's such a good thing for us to do. And that is to give thanks in all circumstances. Boy, that one does not come naturally to us, does it? To give thanks in all circumstances. Now, it's easy. It's easy to give thanks when things are going well, right? When things are good. But what about when things aren't so good? And what about sometimes when life is just plain miserable? It is, isn't it, some days? But Scripture tells us, God tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, he doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. He tells us what? To give thanks in all circumstances. So we're continuing then today this little two-part series on thanksgiving, focusing today on giving thanks in all circumstances. Just a reminder of last week, what we said. We said thanksgiving. What does it mean to give thanks? Well, thanksgiving is giving praise and honor to God no matter what, for who he is, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he has promised to do. So when we give thanks to God, that's what we're thinking. We're thinking we're giving thanks, which is for who God is, his nature, his character, his attributes. He is worthy. But then we give thanks for what he has done, the many ways that he has blessed us. And of course, that supreme example of what he has done that calls forth for thanksgiving is our redemption in Jesus Christ, right? But it's also giving thanks for what he is doing now. How he never leaves us or forsakes us. That he is working for good in all things. And then finally then, giving thanks for what he has promised to do. That's our hope, our eternal hope. So thanksgiving, we're giving praise and honor to God no matter what, for who he is, for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he has promised to do. We said last week that thanksgiving honors our God who is worthy. It blesses the heart of God. God is pleased by that. But it also benefits the people of God. There's a reason why God tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. It benefits us. It benefits us to do that. So part two then today, giving thanks in all circumstances. We'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And here is the main idea that I want us to take away from this today, is that while it is a difficult thing to do, the discipline of giving thanks in all circumstances yields great blessing in the lives of believers. How many of you are grateful? Are you thankful that our main ideas are now actually one real sentence instead of like several paragraphs the way it was for a while? Renee is thankful back there, right? That's right. So my friend Marty is thankful too. That was hard memorizing those paragraphs, right, Marty? So it's a difficult thing to do. And it's a discipline. It's an effort to do that, isn't it? But when we do it, it yields great blessing in our lives. And we're going to talk about what some of those blessings or benefits are then today. Before we look at our text, then, a little context. Paul is encouraging believers in the city of Thessalonica. And he is, as is often the case in New Testament letters, he's correcting some false teaching or some false ideas or notions that the people had. They had some misunderstandings about the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. And so Paul is writing to them. He wants to correct those misunderstandings they have about the second coming of Christ. But in so doing, though, then also then to give them some good instruction on Christian living. So here in this brief few verses here in chapter 5, we're going to see some commands. And remember, when we read these things, these are not options. These are things that we are told to do. These are commands for us to do. So he gives some instructions or commands for us in Christian living. They're important for us then. So we want to look at those commands and then ask why. Why does God tell us to do that? So let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. He says, rejoice when? Always. Pray how often? Without ceasing. Give thanks when? In all circumstances. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So look at rejoicing always. It tells us that we are to rejoice always. That means good times and bad times. I said what? It is easy to rejoice when things are going well. You applied for that job and you got the job, right? We rejoice. You rejoice in that. But what about when you didn't get the job? Or maybe you're not getting any job. You've been looking. We prayed this morning for a need for that in our church family here, didn't we? So are we to rejoice when you get the job, but don't rejoice if you don't get the job? No, rejoice always, whether you get the job or not. You go see the doctor, and you get a clean bill of health. Maybe that problem you had, that's clear. The doctor's not concerned about it anymore. So you walk out of that office, you are rejoicing, you are giving thanks for that. But maybe the news isn't so good. Maybe it turns out it's the diagnosis that you didn't want to hear. And the future is now uncertain. And you're wondering how that's going to affect your life. Maybe you're even wondering how much longer you have to live. Do you rejoice then? Do I rejoice then? Scripture says, even then, rejoice. Rejoice always, whatever the circumstances. Now, when we rejoice, are we rejoicing over bad things, painful things? No, we're not rejoicing over the bad things. We're rejoicing in them, but we must rejoice always. So I ask you, why? Why? Why should we rejoice even then? Here, I told you it's going to be interactive here today, right? I heard somebody say, because we know the character of God. Okay, we rejoice because we know the character of God, and the character of God is good, and that even when bad things are happening, God's character is good, and we can put our trust in God's character and purposes, right? Okay, what else? Why else? Why should we rejoice always? Because it is the will of God. There you go. There's bingo. Number one right there. By the way, some people think it says there, what, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Well, we give thanks because this is the will of God. Well, actually, all three of those are God's will for us. Rejoice always, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. All three of those things are the will of God. So why do we rejoice always? Well, number one is because this is the will of God. This is what God wills or desires. And so I know that we don't always obey the will of God, do we? But what has your experience been when you have obeyed the will of God and when you have disobeyed the will of God? I think we find that even when it's hard, especially when it's hard to obey the will of God, I don't think I've ever had a time in my life when I have regretted obeying the will of God. Now, I can point to you any number of times when I have regretted disobeying the will of God. But I have never regretted obeying the will of God. Now, it may have been hard at the time. It didn't feel good at the time. But looking back on it, you know what? I've never been sad that I obeyed the will of God. Because God is good. God is faithful. All right? So first off, we rejoice always because it's God's will. We rejoice always then because it pleases God. It pleases God when we obey Him in this. And in rejoicing always, what? It shows God. It blesses the heart of God because it shows God. It demonstrates to God that we truly believe in Him, that we trust in Him. And there's joy in that, isn't there? There's joy in that for God. But there's also then, we rejoice always because it benefits you. It serves you well to do that. Well, because when we're rejoicing, even in the bad times, that benefits our hearts and our spirits, doesn't it? As it takes our eyes off of the situation or the circumstance and turns them to God, to God's promises, to God's character, and to God's hope, the hope that we have in Him. Also, you know, when we rejoice always, it doesn't just benefit us. Who else does it benefit? Others in our lives. When we are men and women who are trusting in God, rejoicing in all things, the joy of that overflows from us to others then, doesn't it? It benefits others then as well. Finally then, why? Why should we rejoice? I would say, well, because there's so much to rejoice in. There's so much to be thankful and to rejoice God for. What? Because God has this. Whatever is happening in your life or mine, God is in control. God has this. And Scripture tells us, and again, I know this is one of those things that is easier said than done, okay? But we can trust God in all things, that He is working for good, that He is working for the good in all things for those who love Him and who are the called according to Christ Jesus, right? We can trust God that He is working for good even in painful things. This doesn't mean that we don't feel the pain or we don't grieve. We do. But there's also, alongside that, there's rejoicing in God's character, in God's promises, in God's presence, in God's hope for us. You know, whether we're a believer or not, we're all going to face hard times in life, aren't we? So the question is do we want to go through those hard times and become bitter and defeated by them? Or do we want to go through them with hope and knowing we can trust God to work in it? So rejoice always. And then pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Why? Well, sometimes it's said in this praying without ceasing, it may be, what does it mean to pray without ceasing? Some have suggested, well, that it means that as we're going through our day, that we are always praying, that sometimes we don't just pray in the morning or pray in the evening, but we pray throughout the day, and sometimes they're just short, simple prayers. All right, I think that's good to do that, right? Well, some have said, well, this pray without ceasing, it means that it is an attitude of prayer or being in a spirit of prayer. And that's okay, too, I think, that, you know, that we're just quick and ready to go to prayer no matter what's going on. Remember, I've suggested before something that I learned this from someone else, from a friend of mine. I saw how he would do this all the time, and I thought, you know what, that's really a good idea. I think I need to start doing that. And that is, when someone comes up to you and they say, oh, you know what, I've got this situation going, can you pray about this? What do? Oh, yes, I'll pray. And we really mean it, right? Sincerely in our hearts that, yes, we will pray. And then the person goes away and we get busy with what we were doing. And unfortunately, we don't mean it to, but what happens oftentimes? We forget all about it, right? So when someone comes to you and says, hey, can you pray? What should we do? Pray right then, right there, right? You don't need to wait. Pray right then and there. And yes, pray later too, when the Lord brings that back to your heart and your mind. But pray right then and there. So I think this pray without ceasing, yes, sometimes it's very short, simple prayers. Sometimes it's being in a spirit or an attitude of prayer, which is quick and ready to pray right away. I think when someone comes, says, can you pray for me? Pray right then and there. But I'm not sure, though, and as good and valuable as that is, I'm not sure that's really what Paul is saying. You know what I think Paul is saying there when he says to pray without ceasing? When you cease to pray, it means what? You quit. I think he is saying, don't quit in prayer. Don't give up in prayer. But do what? Persevere and continue on in prayer. Because, you know, sometimes we see prayer results of our prayer, boom, like that, right? How many of you have had that experience where you pray for something? And I'll give you one little example of something here, okay? A little local example right here in Wonder Lake that just happened this week here. And by the way, I'm not taking the credit for this. I'm just saying this happened, okay? All right. How many of you here have that little app on your phone called the Wonder Lake Neighbors app, you know, where it tells you what's going on and that? And so people post to that various things, you know, and questions or, hey, where can I find information about this or what have you and that. And occasionally what comes up is they'll come up with someone who's missing their animal, their dog or their cat, right? Have you seen those things, right? And I have a little special place in my heart for animals, for our pets. And I always, when I see that, when someone's missing their dog or missing their cat and that, well, we had just this week someone whose cat went missing. And that was particularly touching my heart in having had to say goodbye to my pet here recently. And so I saw that there. And so I thought, I hope this cat comes back. Well, the next morning, I go back on there. I see that a few other people had commented on there. And something just said, you need to pray. Pray for that family. Pray for that cat. How many of you think we should pray even about stuff like that? Maybe even especially about stuff like that, right? Someone said, you know what? You need to pray for that. So I did. I prayed for that missing cat, that cat would come back home safe, and that family would be at peace and rejoice in being reunited with their beloved pet. Well, you know what? I prayed. I went back just like a couple hours later. I go on there, and there was a message from the person who had posted it saying, hey, their pet just came back right then, you know, that they think he probably had got stuck somewhere. He had a little injury, nothing serious, but he was going to be okay, and he was back. Again, I'm not going to take the credit for it, but I'm just going to say, God hears and answers prayer, doesn't he? And sometimes we see those answers right away. Other times, it's delayed. sometimes maybe it's not the answer we want, right? But sometimes when the prayer is delayed, or the answer is delayed, or it's not the answer we want, what can we be tempted to do? Quit. Give up. Don't. Pray without ceasing. Don't quit. Don't give up. Persevere. I think that's what Paul is saying there. Yes, give up the short prayers. Be in a spirit of prayer. But what I think he is saying is don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. Why? Why should we pray without ceasing? Well, first of all, because it's God's will. This is going to sound really familiar, right? Because it's God's will for us to do that. Also, it pleases God. Also, it benefits you. How does it benefit you to keep on praying and to persevere, not quit, not give up? Takes the focus once again, what, off of our anxiety and our and the situation and our, and places the, all of that on God. It also, does it benefit others when we don't quit praying for them? Absolutely. And here's why should we pray without ceasing? Because prayer changes things. How many of you believe that? That prayer changes things. Now it may not always change the circumstances. But oftentimes it does, doesn't it? But even if it doesn't change the circumstances at all, I guarantee you prayer does change something. What does prayer change? Our hearts. It changes you. It changes me. It changes our hearts, right? So pray without ceasing. Why? Because it's God's will. Because it pleases God. It benefits you. It benefits others. And by the way, prayer changes things. That's why. It always changes you, always changes me. Then we're told to give thanks in all circumstances. And much like rejoicing, well, this is easy when things are going well, right? But when things aren't going so well, how about if you're like me with this? I have always felt, being single, living alone, and having one car, I feel very vulnerable to transportation issues. Can anybody relate to that? Right. And I hate it when there's a problem with my car. You realize we know how dependent we are on our vehicles, right? Everything about when you go out and you've got somewhere to be, you turn the key and nothing happens. Just that feeling of dread that comes over you, right? How about something as simple as that, as car problems? Now, I don't automatically rejoice or give thanks when I go out to the car, try to start it up, and nothing happens, right? And especially if you're like me, you know, that I have the mechanical aptitude of your average Australian fruit bat, okay? Actually, that's probably an insult to Australian fruit bats everywhere. But I'm not very good at fixing cars, mechanical things. It's just not what God has equipped me for, right? And so then I get really, my temptation is to get really anxious then. It's like, because it's not something like where I could just open up the hoods, oh, okay, I see it and fix this or do that, problem solved. Now it's like, I'm going to have to be, and by the way, this is also something I'm not inherently good at, depending on others. Can anybody relate to that? Anybody here? You like to be self-sufficient. You don't need anybody for anything. But that is not how God has made us, is it? He has made us to need one another. So the car isn't starting. Well, what am I going to do now? Well, I can rejoice and I can give thanks. Why? Because God has put people in my life who are good at that and who can do that and who are helpful and who are more than willing and actually eager to help. Are you eager to help somebody out with something that you can do and you're good at that and they need help? Doesn't that bring joy to your heart to help that person out with that? Yes, it does. So why am I so insistent on depriving others of the joy of serving me, right? Now, am I preaching to the choir here? Am I preaching to the preacher here? Yes, I am, right? Don't deprive others of the joy of serving you. So I can rejoice that the car didn't start because God's got this covered. Somebody else is going to help me with this, and somebody else is going to get the joy or the benefit of that. Now, it's not that I don't want my car to start. I do. But sometimes cars don't start, right? And so we give thanks even then. Thank you, God, that you've got this and that you've put someone in my life to help with that. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? This is going to sound really familiar. First of all, why? Because it's God's will. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Because it's God's will. Because it pleases God when we do that. Because it benefits you. And it benefits others. And then also, we give thanks because God is worthy of our trust. How many of you like having your faith tested? How many of you like having your trust in God tested? Doesn't easier said than done. Trust in God in all things. Easier said than done, right? But how many of you, though, too, have experienced the joy that comes from seeing God come through for you? And how has that helped you the next time you faced a situation? I think that's why God's word says to us repeatedly, remember, remember, remember. We give thanks in all circumstances because God is worthy of our trust. And he has this. God's got this. And he's working for good in those circumstances, right? You know what? This isn't something that comes naturally to us. It is easier said than done. And that's why there is a discipline. You know, when we talk about the biblical disciplines, biblical spiritual disciplines, disciplines are what? They are habits and practices that help us to grow in our faith, can help us to walk faithfully with God and produce a harvest of Christian character and good deeds. And so what are some of these spiritual disciplines that we see in Scripture? Like, first and foremost is what? Is the Word of God, being in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, putting it in our hearts and our minds. Prayer is a spiritual discipline, communicating with God. Worship. Did you know that gathering with God's people, that's a spiritual discipline? It's a joy, but it's a discipline. Is it a discipline to get up sometimes on Sunday morning and come here when, you know what, maybe you've had a busy week and your Saturday was filled with other things you had to do, and now it's Sunday, and what would you rather do? You want to sleep in. You want to get up late and have a nice brunch and just relax, right? But no, you got to get up and get showered, get dressed, get the kids in the car on time. That's not difficult, right? No. I have never, and by the way, would you be shocked if I told you sometimes pastors would rather sleep in on a Sunday morning because it's been a busy week and you didn't have much rest on Saturday? And you know what? And sometimes I'm going to let you in a little secret here too. You know, there are times when I come here and I feel like, you know what? I feel like I need to be ministered to, not to minister to others. I feel like I need to be ministered. I wish I could just sit there and someone else do the preaching, someone else do the driving today, but I can't. Well, you can. You do have those days off, I know. But generally, though, there are times, though, when it's like, you know what? I need to get up here, and I'm tired, or I've got something else going on. I'm distracted, and You know what, though? I've never regretted, though, being faithful to that, being here, and then doing what God is calling me to do. And then what happens? Then there's the joy that comes then from that, right? Have you regretted coming to church when you did that? Okay, some of you don't answer that. Okay, I know that. But no, I never have. Disciplines aren't always fun to do, are they? But the more we do it, it becomes what? This power of habit and routine kicks in, right? And it's a blessing to us then, right? Have you ever thought of gratitude as being a discipline? Something we do. It's not easy to do. But whatever the circumstances, you know what? So you know what? I'm going to give thanks to God in this. And here's why. I'm going to give thanks for this and this and this and this and this and this situation. And what happens? It changes us. It changes our attitude about the situation. Maybe it even changes the situation itself because we have a new attitude about it, right? So what are some of these blessings of gratitude? I told you what, that it's a spiritual discipline that while it's hard to do, it's a spiritual discipline that benefits the people of God. What is it? Well, it glorifies God. Gratitude helps us to see God. Sometimes God can seem so far and remote. God, where are you in this? But when we give thanks to him, now we see him. We see him clearly. Gratitude can bring peace to us. Gratitude can draw us near to God. Gratitude can help us to submit our will to God's will. How many of you know that God's will is always better than ours? That doesn't mean it's always easier, right? Or it feels better at the time, because it doesn't. But God's will is always better. And gratitude helps us to submit our wills to God's will. Brings contentment. So it glorifies God. It helps us to see God. It brings peace to us. It helps us to draw near to God. It helps us to submit our will to God's will. It brings contentment. How many know that you can have all kinds of stuff, you can have all kinds of good things and blessings, but not be grateful for it, and as a result, you're not a very content or happy person, right? On the other hand, you may have very little of what the world considers good and blessings, but you're grateful for what you do have, and you find yourself, what, content? You know, there's something to be said for that old stereotype of the person, the wealthy person who's got it all, and they're miserable, right? And then you have this person here, and they really don't have much, but they're grateful for what they have, and they are content in that. That's a blessing, to be content, isn't it? Gratitude helps us to be content. You know, gratitude also can deepen our faith. The more we give thanks to God, the more we trust God then. It leads to joy in our lives as opposed to that discontentment, misery, or despair. It helps us to guard against envy, being content with what we have. But then also, you know, another blessing of gratitude is it's a good testimony. It's a good testimony then to others, a watching world. I want to suggest there's a good book I read here recently I think you might like. It's called The Grumbler's Guide to Giving Thanks by Dustin Crowe. Right. Brand new book, just came out this year. The Grumbler's Guide to Giving Thanks by Dustin Crowe. I think you'll find this helpful and encouraging in the discipline. This long-neglected or forgotten discipline of gratitude and giving thanks. How many of you are grumblers? Come on, admit it. Okay, I see. I'm glad you raised your hands, because I was going to have to come out there and raise them for you if you didn't then. So, you know what? We all have that grumbling tendency, though, to us, don't we? But we want to be grateful people, not grumbling people. And so one of the things he suggested, he calls it a map for gritty gratitude. Gritty gratitude, that's giving thanks in all circumstances, even when it's hard. And very quickly then, I want to tell you why we should do that. Because when we are giving thanks in all things, we learn then to rest in God's sovereign plan. God's in charge. God is in control. Do you believe that He has a plan for your life? Rest in God's sovereign plan. Also then, it can help us then to cling to God's good promises. When things are tough, rest in God's sovereign plan. Cling to God's good promises. And there are many. Look then. Look for God's evident work. Look for what you see God doing in your life through it. And finally then, trust. Trust in God's steadfast love and faithfulness, even when you don't see it or feel it. Or I would say, especially when you don't see it or feel it, trust in God's steadfast love and faithfulness. So what? What do you want me to do with this? Well, I want to take us back where we started and remind us, while it is a difficult thing to do, the discipline of giving thanks in all circumstances yields great blessing in the lives of believers. So do you generally choose grumbling or gratitude? Both. Okay. We have an honest person here today, right? Okay. We all grumble sometimes, don't we? We're all grateful sometimes. But what's the general pattern of your life? Are you more of a grumbler or a gratitude person? So here's the thing. Will you choose? It's a decision. It's a choice, an act of the will. Will you choose to give thanks in all circumstances? And finally then, give thanks. This is Thanksgiving this week here, the holiday of Thanksgiving. And I know that for many of us, we're not going to be getting together the way we normally would, will we? But I wonder, however many you may have in your household or whatever you're doing for Thanksgiving, one of the traditions is often we go around and say, what are you thankful for? Well, this year is going to test it a little bit more for us. Are you grateful? And don't say because 2020 is almost over. Okay, well, you can be grateful for that, okay? But be grateful that what God is still on His throne through all of this, isn't He, and has been. And God is going to continue to be faithful to us. So give thanks. Speak up. Normally, we do take some time in our services right before Thanksgiving to say what we're thankful for. But I'm going to let you sit with that and meditate on that and do that. If you're watching online, if you're at home watching this now, what are you thankful for? Now, you may need to speak up. I'd like to hear. Now, if you're at home, you need to shout. I can't quite hear it there. So I think I hear my friend. Okay, Dan and Kay are friends in Naperville. I need you to speak up. I can't quite hear. And there's my friends Ken and Mardell. They're in Peoria. I shout, Mardell. I think. Okay, she said. Oh, she said that she was thankful to have a great friend like me, and I want you to know I'm really thankful to have a great friend like you too, Marty. So, but no, I do want you to know that I am thankful. I am thankful, first of all. Well, I'm thankful to God for my salvation in Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful then for the privilege of knowing you and serving you here in this church, worshiping together here with you. But I'm also thankful that God is good and that while it's been a crazy year, He's got this. He's still the sovereign Lord on His throne, and we can be thankful for that. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this wonderful reminder to us to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances for all of these things, Lord. All of these things are the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. Lord, we give You thanks, we give You praise for who You are, for what You have done for us, what You are doing for us, and what You have promised to do. Lord, may that be a strength to us. May that be our solid rock, whatever is happening in our lives here. And it's been a tough year, Lord, for us. But for some of us, it's been even tougher than for others. And I pray, Father, that you would encourage all of us, that you would teach us, Lord, to choose gratitude, to choose the discipline of gratitude, to give thanks, Lord, in all things, in all circumstances, because this is your will. It pleases you. It benefits us. It benefits others. And there's joy then to be found in that. So we give you thanks then now and praise. Lord Jesus Christ, in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.